It's all in quality. So we left off last week. We quoted a machlekes rishonim that kind of came about in the sugya a little bit derech agav. How surprising that we were talking about a sugya derech agav. The real sugya that we were talking about was the chiyuv ksuba d'oraisa, the rabbanon, different possibilities of that. But in passing, Taisus threw at us a curveball about Taisus showed you as a davar pashut that the chiyuv knas for oines can apply even if it's a biyush l'kedarka. Why do we think that that was surprising? Because it's not really changing her status in terms of being a basula. I mean, it's not affecting her physical makom basulim. So one could have made a good case that maybe there's no chiyuv of oines for that. So Taisus is quick to show if more the gemara that's not true. And because Taisus assuming that way, then they got at the problems and they had akashas and terutzim and all the shilotah that we spoke about last week. So we ended off at the end of the shiur on Thursday. We tried to focus on that nekud of Taisus. The Taisus was assuming such a double portion that a biyush lo kedarka is a mechayev of a knas. So we pointed out that the rishonim would disagree. There's a Rambam for sure that disagrees. There may be Rashi in a few places that disagrees. So we left it a little bit hanging. What's the nature of this machlokes? What is this all about? Why should or should not a biyush lo kedarka be mechayev of a knas? So we pointed out that biyush lo kedarka is funny because on the one hand it's dino kibia kol tarkula for arayas kedusha yibum etc. On the other hand, maybe the din of oynis is not enough. It's not a ma'ase biyush that's a mechayev. It's in a sense the asharas habesulim. It's the breaking of the besulim that's the mechayev. It's the damaging, the lowering of a value, so to speak, that's the mechayev, and that is absent in a biyush lo kedarka. So we had a tzofik ashal of Risham. We're not sure which way to go. We tried to bring rayas back and forth. There was no absolute convincing raya. So there is a machlekes of Rishonim that may very well be related to this, a similar type of ashal. We just barely touched on the very end of the shiur on Thursday. We have a situation where this an action that's labeled as bia in all dini Torah, just about all dini Torah, but it's also lacking that physical condition of breaking the basulim. And we thought that would be a very similar type of a shaila. What kind of a bia is that? That was called hara. So we spoke a lot about this earlier in the year. The Torah tells us that even though there was no complete penetration, it wasn't a full complete ma'isa bia, but it's dino kibia l'chol tarakula. It's bia l'chol tarakula in terms of chiyuvei arayis, chiyuvei lavim, and for yibum, and maybe for kedushin, depending on what you think about sigis and kedushin nafiyod. But it's basically dino kibia l'chol tarakula. And here also we find the machlekes rishon, machlekes rashi and taisus about does hara create a chiyuv of oynis or not? The person is ma'anis a woman, and he only does hara to her. Does that mechayev him in paying the knas? The whole parsha of oynis mefata kick in. So we said, oh, that sounds like the exact same shaila. If you hold that the definition of oynis, the violation of oynis, the chiyuv of oynis can only kick in if there's a hasharas habesulim, and that's the reason why the Rambam says that biyush lo kedarka is a mechayev. So that seems to fit into Rashi's idea also that maybe hara is not a mechayev either. But if you hold like Taisus, that no, it doesn't matter whether there is Hashar Sabzul, Nishkin Hashar Sabzul, it's all the same thing. As long as the Maisa Bia that's recognized by the Halach is a Bia called Tarkula, so it's going to be Mechayiv and Aynes, the Maynaf Kaminis, Shalak Kedark, it's Hara, it doesn't make any difference. So our initial reaction was, and it could be that we're right in that initial reaction, is that these two Shalas really tell us Zebizat. So now we just push the Shalah back a little bit. So Taka, what's the Din by Hara? So Bia Shalak Kedark, we went through all the Gemaras back and forth between Kedushin, Gemaras, and Subas, and we came to the absolute conclusion that there was no Raya. We couldn't bring any convincing Raya one way or the other in terms of Bia Shalak Kedark. So let's move back to a different Sugya and try to analyze the Machlokes Rashi and Taisus that the Pir Masechet Sanhedrin. We'll jump for next year. I don't think we're going to get that far next year. It's in the 8th Parak. Machlokes Rashi and Taisus in the end of the 8th Parak of Masechet Sanhedrin. Halacha Lemaisa, is there a din of Oynis and Mefata? Does the din of Knas kick in with Hara alone? And we're guessing that's probably the same sugya. So let's backtrack for a little bit, backpedal to that sugya in the 8th Parak of Masechet Sanhedrin, and see how that sugya plays out in the Rashi and the Taisus. So we have seen this sugya before. Those who have been with us for the entire year. So we have seen this sugya many, many times over. We spoke about a lot of aspects of this sugya. You can tell there's absolutely nothing going on around here because every time I write notes, I come back a week later, it's still here. So there's no English, there's nothing, right? Right? No? Well, my Chiddush HaTorah is good. So comes the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, a very, very important sugya, a fundamental sugya in the sugyas of Oynis and Mefata, as others, other sugyas as well. And let's go back to that sugya in Masechet Sanhedrin. The Gemara Sanhedrin raises a problem about a very unique kind of onus mefata. 99.99% of the time, this case doesn't exist. Normal onus mefata is, as the honest, a regular girl, somebody doesn't know her, whatever, not related to him. And every once in a while, you have a real meshugana, who's a ma'anes who? Who's ma'anes, a woman who happens to be a what? An erva to him. Anyone remember the Mishnah Chavtes and Alf? It seems like it was just yesterday, but this is where we started with last Elul. Il nair sheshen knas, so habo alachoysoy, v'alachas aviv, v'alachas imay, v'alachas ishtay. The Mishnah rattles off that if a person is ma'anes, a woman who he's chayef karis to, it's mamish gili arayas, there's still going to be a chayef of knas. That's very shem Mishnah. So let's just chazer for a little bit, for the old time's sake. So let's chazer. What's the significance of that Mishnah? The new timers could also join in the discussion. What's the significance of this Mishnah? If I would tell you there's a din, the Yema'anes is a Erev, Yema'anes HaChoysim, Yema'anes HaChosovim, Yechad Be'a Knas, what are some of the things that you should start to think of? Really, is that true? Be'a Knas, what? Be'a Knas? You can't marry her. Isn't marrying her and paying a knas all part of the same package deal? So if you can't marry, even if you would want to marry, you wouldn't be able to marry her. Maybe there shouldn't be knas altogether. That would be a good objection. Who the Tanoim who had that objection, who remembers? Rabbi Shimon HaTimni, Rabbi Shimon Menasya. We spent about a month on that that aspect of the Mishnah. How could you be chayav to pay knas if you can't marry in the first place? Good. So forget about that. That's not the topic for today. What other possible problems do we have with that Mishnah? Even the new guys. Kibud Ramni, what's the Kibud Ramni? Normally, if a person does an Aveira that carries with it two Oshim, one is the Mochamer, one is Mokal, so then you get the Mochamer and you get off with the Mokal. So why is this Kibud Ramni? Let's formulate that properly. Why should this be Kibud Ramni? Because if a person is Bolachosa, what's he Chayav? Chayav Karis. Oh, Kibud Ramni, right? Sounds good. No? Karis. Is Karis enough to create a Kibud Ramni? It's a Machoik is who and who? Come on, I'm going to take away your sheer assistant, Lumafreya. Right? No, he's right. Ashi would make fun of him. It's a Bayan Rav, a Libdur, Ben Chuni Ben Akon. He's right. Machoik is a Tanoim. Ben Chuni Ben Akon held a Chiddush Gadol, and he held that not only does an Onesh Misa Bidei Adam carry with the Kibbutz Ramine to Potter from Mamun, but even an Onesh of Kares, which is only an Onesh Bidei Shemayim, also carries with it a din of Kibbutz Ramine. So according to Rabbi Chuni Ben Akona, you wouldn't be Yechayev to pay Kanas here because of Kibbutz Ramine. So far we have a few reasons why this Mishnah should not be true. We have a few different Tanoim who would argue with this Mishnah. Either there's an issue of Eino Nosa, okay, whatever, he's not going to marry her, for different reasons why that is, or there's an issue of Kimle Bidramine because of the Kares, right? What's another possibility? Another possible issue? Even if you hold there's no Kimle Bidramine because of the Kares, but what is there? There's another issue here. Forget the Kares for a second. First is Bola Chosa, what ownership does he get in this world? Bola Chosa is not from the Chiv and Mises Bezin, it's only from Arias of Kares. But what onesh does everyone who gets karis also get? Gets malchus. So that's another principle called what? Einoi. Right, does that ring a bell? Eino loka umishalem, right? I think Rabbi Meir, the Rabbanon, the Mezid, the Shoye, Rabbi Yoich, and Rishlokish, right? I would say this was about a month of Shir. I would say this was about a month of Shir. I'd say this was about a month of Shir, right? Approximately, okay? All trying to figure out what's going on in this Mishnah. Now there's a fourth issue with this Mishnah that happens not to appear in the third Pesukos. We spoke about this also. And there's another very unique aspect of Kibbutz Ramine that should be playing out here. What is that? When a person is Ma'anes HaSachoso, so it's Kibbutz Ramine, not else the Kares, forget the Kares. Not else the Malchus, forget the Malchus. It's Kibbutz Ramine for something else. Why? When a person is running after his sister to be Ma'anes Har, what does he become up here, Locha? He's a Rodef, a Rodef has a Erva, and what's the din of a Rodef? He's Chayav Misa, not really Chayav Misa, but somebody can what? Somebody can kill him. So the Gemara says, and somebody could take him out at the time it is being Rodef, that's also like a quote-unquote Mechuyav Misa, and since he's Mechuyav Misa, he should be Potter from the Mamanis. So that's the Gemara's Kasha, I'm going to put that by, that's the Republic's Kasha, in the 8th Baruch of the 2nd Sanhedrin. How could the Mishnah say that Hava'anis is a Chaysa, Ebola Chaysa, is Chayav Kanaz? Forget about Rabbi Shimon Timni and Shimon Benassi. Forget about Rabbi Chuni Ben Akona. Forget about it in Loki Mishalim. It should be a problem of Rai Deif Achar Erva. And Rai Deif Achar Erva is like a quote-unquote Mechuyav Misa, because he'd meet him Lahatzil Benassi. Somebody can kill him at that moment to take away the Aveira. And since he's quote-unquote Chayav Misa, he should be part of Amman. That was the Gemara's Kasha. Now, again, just as a, hopefully some nice memories, this is a very, very funny kind of a lot of a kimodromedary. What's funny about this kimodromedary? This is a new guy. What's funny about the kimodromedary over here? What? Well, they're asking me the answer. What's funny about this?
Because no
one's killing him. But Mike says, no one is really killing him. It's not like a guy who's Machal Shabbos, I burn down your house on Shabbos. Or I do something that's Mamish Chayav Misa and Moment at the same time. I'm not Chayav Misa. At the end of the day, I'm a theoretical Chayav Misa. In theory, someone could take me out. So that's a din of Rodef. The fact that a Rodef is called the Mechuyav Misa vis-a-vis Kim Draminate is a tremendous finish. That's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in the 8th Brach of Masechet Sanhedrin. Why that should be so? What does that indicate to us, little Chazar guys? What does that indicate to us about the nature of the din of Rodef? That the chin of why? That the din of Rodef is not just. Why would I, if I would ask you, let's say you never learned to forgive Rodef. If I would ask you, why are you allowed to kill a Rodef? Why would you think the goal of killing a Rodef is? That the Merman says, Hatzolus Hanirdof, right? You would think the whole goal is to save the guy's life. If that's the case, then why is he called Mechuyav Misa? Mechuyav Misa means like an Einish Misa. The answer is there's more than just Hatzolus Hanirdof. It's almost like a din of an einish. Because you put yourself into this terrible chait of being rodef somebody, the Torah is manish you. It's not an einish and he says beis din, like a normal, with eidim, with dayanim, with a psak din, the whole works. It's an emergency measure. It's a type of an einish and he says beis din that is meted out, not by the beis din, but it's meted out by each and every person. It's mitzvah matzil b'nafsha, but it's a ged of an einish. If it wouldn't be din of einish on it, then you wouldn't say kibud ramineh. So it's Ashi that redeemed himself. By pointing out, there's a Rash, Manra, Sameach, and the Chaschinoch, and a lot of Torahs on this topic. Again, not for now. So we probably had, I would say, let's say 1 month, 2 months, I'd say about half the year, just on the combination of all these different facts. So this is the introduction, this is the background to what we want to talk about today. So comes the Gemara to Hedron, yes, the Kasha. Why don't we say that Kim Levdram, and how can the Mishnah say that Ma'anis is a Chayse, Bola Chayse, is Chayabam and tape away that he's a Kibbeh Draminei. So what's the Gemara's first suggestion? Who's the Ramah Kibbeh? The Gemara comes up with a few suggestions. What's the first answer to the Gemara? The Gemara says it's not quite what? It's not quite simultaneous. It's not quite at the same moment. One of the clothes of Kibbeh Draminei is that it has to be at the same time. If I'm Chayab moment today and I'm Chayab Misa next week, that's not called Kibbeh Draminei. So comes the Gemara and says, by Rodev is the Erva, let's be very, very careful. I'm going to have to break it down to the split second. By Rodev is the Erva, at what point is the person considered to be a Mechuyav Mises Beis Din? At what time does he have the status of Rodev? Only until he does the Aveira. Once the Aveira is done, once he's Ma'anisar, so he's a terrible person, but you can't take him, you can't kill him anymore. Unlike if a guy kills somebody, he's Mamashit Ritzeach, he succeeds in what he's doing, he's a Ritzeach, so then after he kills the person, so then you can take him out of Beis Din. You have to bring Edom, Dayanim, and Beis Din Shel Din Nefashas 23. They have the whole 9 yards. But to invoke the parish of Rodev, Rodev only makes sense Kol Zman that it hasn't happened yet. So if a person is being Rodev Achar Erva, Kol Zman he hasn't been Bola yet, then he's still Didik Rodev. Once he's Bola, then it's over. So at what point is he Bola? Huh? At what point do we say in the Maisa Bia, is it over in terms of the status of a Rodev? Once he does what? Harot, that's the Tchilas Biyat, that's what the Gemara said from Sukkim. That's the point where we say that he was Pegimah, so to speak. That's the point she's considered to be already Nivola. And at that point, so he now loses the status of Rodev. Comes the Gemara and says, at that point of Harot, he was Pegimah. So at that point, he's Ois Rodev. He's no longer Rodev. But Knossa, Eina Mishalem, Adwan, what does the Gemara say? Agmar Biyat. He doesn't pay Knas until the end. So the Gemara was able to break up that Nakuda, that by a split second, that the Rodev part is over before the Knas kicks in. Just as an aside, I can't even learn these sugars without just bringing back all these memories. So what do you see from this Gemara? That the Chiyav Onesh of Misa and the Chiyav Onesh of Mammon have to be Mamish simultaneous. What does simultaneous mean? Mamish simultaneous. What if you have the Chiyav Misa before the Chiyav Mammon? Right? So if you have a Chiyav Misa before the Chiyav Mammon, it sounds like it would be. Sounds like that wouldn't be covered by Kibbeh Draminei, right? So that was the mistake with the Rosh Hash and the Tezer Rosh, right? Okay, good. Okay, just bring back the memories from Friedrich Adairis, right? Okay, good. Not for now. I'm not going to get too far afield. So getting back to the story. So comes Rashi on the spot and says, what do these words mean? The Gemara says that Eina Mishalim Kenas. ad gemar bir. What do those words mean? So Rashi says, I'll tell you exactly what that means. You know what it means? Because the mechayiv of kenas is hasharas besulim. Only the breaking of the besulim, and at this stage of the gemara thinks that harah doesn't do that. And since the hasharas besulim didn't take place yet, you're not going to be chayiv to pay kenas. The chayiv kenas only kicks in at gemar bir. Nope. So what do you see from this Rashi? This is mamash Rashi l'shitasik. This is part of the shitas Rambam. This is part of the those who disagree with Taisus and Asugya. This is that whole theory in Rishayim that the chiv of knas is not does not neveh, doesn't emanate from a ma'ase bia. It has to be an act of bia that's ma'ase besulim, and therefore any time you're lacking that condition of hasharas besulim, there's not going to be a chiv of knas. Whether you're lacking in that condition because it's bia shlekedarka, like the Rambam says, or you're lacking in that condition because it's not a gemar bia like Rashi, it's all the same thing. It's a lack of hasharas besulim. So that seems pretty clear. That is shittas Rashi.
Even if you have the marbiya, there's no asharas besulim. I think in either certain cases.
We're assuming, yeah. Have some wild scenarios like that. Yeah, we're assuming is that normally it is. Yeah. So comes Tysus on the spot and says they don't believe that it's true. Of course they don't believe that it's true. How does Tysus know that Rashi's trial is not correct? What's Tysus' cash in Sanhedrin? What does he ask from? Which gemara does Tysus show you to prove that Rashi is not correct? We know these gemaras already. Kedusha daf yoram and aleph, ksubis with baal paguma, baal shalema. All the gemaras that Tosis uses daf mamitas and beis and ksubis, he uses there also. So Tosis holds that lohayud v'meyadim. There is no requirement of asharas besulim. But Tosis stuck, he's staring at the gemara in the face. Emisham kenas gemar bia. So what does Tosis says? I'm going to explain it like this. I'm going to accept Rashi's pshat v'laf mitamei. Rashi is 100% right and 100% wrong at the same time. Says Tosis. You don't pay knas for hara, but not for Rashi's reason. Rashi state beferish because it's not meishah besulim. Taisus says lohayu dvar miyolim biyish lekedak is also not meishah besulim, and you still pay knas. Says Taisus, you know why you don't pay knas? No, why do you pay knas? Says Taisus, who saw the Taisus? Taisus says hara is an unbelievable chiddush. I never in a million years would have figured out that hara is called the meishah bia. And harai, it's such an unbelievable chiddush. Who remembers the gemara in the sixth paragraph of Yevamos? The gemara needs a pasuk by every single case under the sun. The gemara needs a pasuk by chayvei krisis and by chayvei lavin and les isha lebaila and liknos for kedushin and for Yevamos. Every you name for chayvei lavin, chayvei essay, every case under the sun of bia and kol tarkula. The gemara needs nacha pasuk and nacha pasuk and nacha hekesh and nacha zirishav and nacha pasuk and nothing. Every time is different. Why? Because it's wild. It's not really a ma'aseh bia. It's not. The ma'aseh, it's not. Physically, it's not. And al pi halacha, it's considered to be. This rabba to be called a ma'aseh bia. It's mekar hera. It's considered to be a ma'aseh bia. And just about kol ha'torah kula. Just about. But what? Just about. And 99.999% of the time, it's a ma'aseh bia. Except for what? This case, right? There's the one case. There's no pasuk, says Taisus. Evachav l'chadisho. Find me a pasuk in Parshas Kisaitzer that says that Oedis is mechuyev to pay hara. There is no such pasuk. Since there's no such pasuk, the Meila, what's the din? What's the din, says Tosis? Tachiyah potter. Everyone's potter to prove in chayev. Not because it's something physical, not because you need the condition of hasharas besulim, but because there's no chiddush Torah. So Tosis quotes Yesh Befarshim that lo nisrabta hara v'oynes. That's it. It's just. It's a lack of exercise cost. It's not because of this new condition, the secondary condition called Asharas Besulim. There's no possible. What do you see just parenthetically from Tosis? What do you see how Tosis understood the nature of the exercise cost of Bia Shalok Kedarka is radically different than the exercise cost of Haras Kigmar Bia? What do I mean by that? When it comes to Bia Shalok Kedarka, Tosis has no qualms to say that it applies to Oynes also. Where's the pasuk? We state in Parshas Oynes, in Parshas Kisaitzeh, that Bia Shalok Kedarka is chayav. It doesn't say it. You know where it says it? It says in Parshas Kedosh, Mishka Ve'isha. Mishka Ve'isha teaches us Adrosha, Beis Mishkavish Ve'isha. Bia Kedarka, Bia Shalok Kedarka. Tosis understood that in Lomdus, the two drashas are very different. The din of Bia Shalok Kedarka was this chadesh, that what? That it's called the Maisa Bia and Kol Tarkula, no matter what, across the board. The din of Hara is case by case basis. If you want to use Lomdish terminology, one's a din, almost a din klali, one's a din prati. It means there's a din klali, the Torah gave us a new definition of ma'aseh bia, even bia shalok kedarka is called the bia. That's exercise of cost. I don't need a pasuk in every case of bia shalok kedarka. And even by oynis, where there's no such pasuk, you're going to be chayiv. I never heard of that. It's irrelevant, says Tosis. But hara is a case by case basis. It's a din prati in every case. And takalobis wraps a hara ba'ainis. So Taisus quotes this azashi the yesh b'farsh. Okay, so we're okay. So Taisus has gotten out of that gemara. And then Taisus says oidish lema. Taisus number one. Taisus number two. Taisus gives a different shot in that gemara. It's in Hedrin. We missed the boat. We totally misunderstood the gemara. So what does it mean? What's the other pshat in Taisus? Once more. Comes Taisus and says, "Did I put this Taisus on the Mamre Kremes? I didn't put it on. I didn't put this Taisus on the Mamre Kremes. I didn't put this gemara on the Mamre Kremes. What are you talking about? How can that be? Where is it, Mamre Kremes? What? It's not there. It should have been there. Everyone should have realized it was there. How did I not put that on? I must have been sleeping when I wrote these Mamre Kremes. I can't believe I didn't put this on. Because I assumed everyone saw it last time when we saw it. That's why. I wouldn't want to repeat any of my muffin. I was assuming so. Mechila to the new guys and a tie on the old guys. I said, you should have realized that was the... No, you did this. So you realized right away, because that's why I didn't put on the Mamre Kremes, because Dr. Berman was doing the 8 Brachim. A.J. Shlema, third text in place. Okay. Okay, sorry guys. All right. You're up to that part? You're up to this part already? Oh, this is exciting. Let's see. And jumping off the ceiling. Okay. From my side, so I asked Mechila, but I still have to quote the third Tarot and Taisus. So comes the third Tarot actually comes Taisus and says, when the Gemara says, Eino Misham Kenas Ad Gemarbiya, the Gemara never meant to say that a regular Oynes doesn't pay Kenas Ad Gemarbiya. The Gemara just meant to say that this guy who was Ma'anes as a Erva, so for the Hara, he's Potter from Kenas because he's still a what? He's still a Rodev, but he's still chayav for the end of the bia. Just because you're potter from the beginning of the bia doesn't mean you're potter from the end of the bia. That means when we say that hara is kigmar bia, doesn't mean that hara is the only moment of bia. It means this chacha teira that hara is the beginning of bia, and there's a the whole process anywhere along the line is considered to be a ma'aseh bia in halacha with all the consequences thereof. So comes Taisus and says that the gemara's kasha was it's kibbleh b'dramine because you're a rodef. So the Gemara says, nah, you're only a rodef at the point of hara. Hara normally would have been enough to be mechayev kenas, not like Rashi, not like the first teret. Hara normally is enough. In this case, I concede to you, answers the Gemara, that it's not enough because it's covered by the einish kibbleh b'dramine, but you're still chayev for what? For the continuation, for the end of the Gemara bia. This is a moshel about David Daimler. Who remembers this? Just because hara is something doesn't mean it's everything. Remember the Ritva, right? The Ritva Kedushin, we spoke about this. So anyway, so the bottom line is, I guess the reason why I got so excited about the sugya is because this is such a throwback to some of the things we spoke about earlier in the year. Eino Misham Kenas Ad Gemarbiya, quite the third, the second pshat is because af depotor the hara, he's still chayav the Gemarbiya. So when all the dust settles, we have Machlekes Rashi and Taisus. All the Taisus. Machlekes Rashi and Taisus, that made a lot of sense. We have Machlekes Rashi and Taisus. The Rashi holds that Asharas of Besulim is an absolute criteria in order to be Chayev in Ones, and therefore Rashi, the Shittasim, would probably follow the Shittas Rambam, the Biyash Lekedaka is not a Mechayev. Taisus and Asugi didn't buy into it, neither by Biyash Lekedaka, nor by Hara, except for maybe this quirk of number two. But according to Taisus throughout Shas, there is no second condition called Asharas of Besulim.
Why in general by normal onus are you not chayav for the gemar bia also?
You have to chayav twice, 100 shekel.
So he, I'm saying,
it's like the Rashba, no? Literally, you can't be chayav double jeopardy in the same. It's just saying that the mechayav of kenas kicks in at the time of hara. If for whatever technical reasons it can't set in then, so it'll set in 5 seconds later.
Oh, so it's just one. It's not like a pure.
Okay, good. So, Moshe, this was all the Shirayim. Yeah, we weren't going to talk about this today. This is just a lesson.
So, I was supposed to explain this first line. He kind of like distinguishes between.
He's saying that even though that this girl is again over here. Where? Yeah. So, which line does this? So Avagav the Basuli Yeshik Subin Torah Zosbul a regular girl who was Nemsa, right? If she was Nemsa Kedarka, so then she's now a Ba'ula. So when she marries the Ma'anes, so there's not going to be a Chiyuv of Ksuba, because there's not going to be a Ksuba Deraisa. Right, so then Taisa has the Kasha, but I can give you this crazy scenario where she already experienced the being an Anusa, i.e. Tushala Kedarka, and she's still considered to be a Basula vis-a-vis 200 Zuz. That was Taisa's whole Kasha. Okay? So if I say, there's one last part of the Sugya, that this Sugya has made its way into Shulchan Aruch, at least into the Ramah. So we would normally think this, we're spending so much time talking about Anes, is it a Ksuba from an Anes, Anachi of an Anes, what's the difference? Hopefully this is never going to come up as Banach Zeh. Is it an Anes, a Naira Basura, I mean, please. Let's not, we're going to make him marry him. No, the whole thing is not going to be relevant to my son as Banach Zeh. But there's one Nekuda that emanates from Esugya. What the Gemara told us is that what was the root of the issue as to why there's no Ksuba for this girl? Guy's Ma'anis is a Basula, and he goes and he marries her. So she agrees, the father agrees, he goes, Malzman, he goes and marries her. So the Gemara says there's no Ksuba. Why is there no Ksuba? Who remembers? What's the real reason? What is the ultimate reason why there's no Ksuba? Because the whole Chi of Ksuba is only the Durban anyway, at least in this case, and therefore what? No? Fill in the blanks. What? The whole reason was that was the whole purpose. He shouldn't go rush to divorce her. Here, his hands are tied. He can't divorce her, even if he wants to divorce her. Because the Torah says, the Yuchel Shachal Yama, it's an issue that rise to divorce her. And forget, if he divorced, we're going to make him remarry her. So since his hands are tied, the whole lump of the Ksuba falls by the wayside. B'chi agav lo tikri Ksuba. Adkan tevi agamah. Comes the Ramon Evan Ezer and throws the Bamish a curveball at us. Comes the Ramon and says, when you read this Sugi in Ksuba Slava Tess, you think this is the one in a crazy case, this is the one in a million marriages. Says the Ramon, every marriage is like this. The whole reason for Ksuba, Shlei Kalabena Vatsiya, is irrelevant to Zman Hazeh. You know why, Zakhti Ramon? Thanks to a man by the name of Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom, who was Rashi's Rabbeim's Rebbe. You're talking about around the year 1000 or so. Rashi is a Rebbeim, the Rebbe, Rebbe Gershom, who was the goal, undisputed goal of Dov Chachmi Ashkenaz. Rebbe Gershom made a whole bunch of different takonas, a whole bunch of different tikkunim to make life run a little bit smoother in the Ashkenazi communities. So for the most part, these tikkunim were not accepted in the Sephardic communities, but by us, by Ashkenazi, these were accepted unanimously. So the two that we're focusing on right now were, he made a takona that you're not allowed to marry two wives. That's the famous Chayim de Rabbeinu Gershom. You're not allowed to marry two wives. Why did he make that takona? What was the background of that? Anybody know? Why did he make that takona not allowed to marry two wives? What was wrong with the way the situation was before? So the Rishonim have a machlokes as to what exactly the reason why Rabbeinu Gershom made this takona in the first place. So some say that it was just a takona al tsholem, al tzedakhe shalom, because it was Rabbeinu Gershom saw already what was going on in the world. That how many fights were breaking out. There's a reason why the women are called tsaros and zulazu, because they bring a lot of tsaros to each other. So it was terrible. So it was just not a good model. It was never a good model. The fact that the Torah describes, every time in Tanakh they describe two wives, there's always problems. By Sarah and Hagar and Rachel and Leah and Chana and Penina, every time there's fight, every time there's issues that are going on. So you see that the Rabban Shalom didn't want that. That's not a good model. But the Rabban Shalom didn't answer it. So Rabbeinu Gershom said, "Ad kan v'lo yoyse," that it's becoming too out of hand. It's coming too many fights, and therefore we're going to make a takana and a cheyrim is finished, and no more two wives. Finished. Ad kan v'lo yoyse. That's the way some Rishonim presented the takana. Other Rishonim presented like that. The Boros presented it. We spoke about this back in Yevamos days. Other Rishonim, what?
Yeah.
Was it Jews by Yevamos? Yeah, I don't remember anymore. Other Rishonim say that the reason for the takana was that it was a result of the fact that people were running around a lot. It wasn't literally the Crusades yet, but there were a lot of persecutions. There were always wars going on and stuff. People were disappearing right and left. And it was a bad setup for a person to have two wives. Why? The Gemara says in Masechet Yevamos that in the olden days, when it was mutter to have two wives, so the Gemara says, "L'yisa adam isha b'medina zu v'isha acheres b'medina acheres." You shouldn't have two wives in two different countries. Because you're going to have two wives in two different countries, no one's going to know who's related to. The nimtza ach neisei achaisei. So a child of this marriage is going to come to the intended other country. No one's going to know who's related to who. And it's going to nimtza kol olam kulam amzerim. It could really be a terrible disaster. So comes some Rishonim and said, Rabbeinu Gershom was worried that when you have a lot of upheavals in the Jewish communities, it's going to be very hard to keep track of this. The guy's going to get married here, he's going to run away, his wife's going to be left behind, he's going to marry somebody else, it's going to be such a balagan. So to prevent any of these Mechsholim, Vayisa Adam, Isha B'din Azub, Isha B'din Acheres, so he was Mesachan across the board not to marry too. Fine. So different reasons for the Taquana. And enough communities Ladina? Who cares what the Taquana was for that reason, the other reason? Any other differences? So we close the time with Chuvas Mishkas Yaakov, huh? Yeah. But even that, he wasn't willing to be make it all right. So the Mishkas Yaakov writes in a Chuva that he thinks that there's a big nafkamin ladina about this chayim of Rabbeinu Gershom, whether it was based on ultimately just to prevent shalom bias issues or whether it was instituted to create to prevent yisurim. There's a machlekes every shayim whether the chayim of Rabbeinu Gershom was made forever and ever and ever. It was only made for a certain limited amount of time. So some Rishonim had a tradition that the Chayim was only made until what's called the Esof Elaf HaChamishim, which is the year 5000. So when was that? So that was 775 years ago. What year was that? Well, what? When was 775 years ago? I don't know math. 1240, right? 775 years ago, right? It was 1240, right? Okay, so some Rishonim have a tradition that the Chayim was officially ended in the year 1240. And other Rishonim say, Lo hayu dvar b'yam. It's not true that the Chayim still exists in 440. So where even those Rishonim who said that the Chayim was over, so they all agree that there was a new minig that was instituted to reinstitute the Chayim, bring it back to life. So don't think that it's mutter b'zman hazeh. It's also l'chol adeh b'zman hazeh. In the Chach B'Ashkenaz, but whether it's an official formal Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom, whether it was a newly instituted Binag, that's a machlokes in the Rishonim. Fine. So, says the Mishnah Yaakov, what's the issue? Why does some Rishonim think that the Chayim was made temporarily? It was only supposed to end after a certain couple hundred years, and other Rishonim say the Chayim was made the Yom Kippur. So the Mishkas Yaakov explains in the Tshuva that he thinks that Beis Din only has the Koyach to make a Gezeirah the Yom Kippur if it's a Gezeirah to prevent the Isurim. Then there's a din called the Shmartimus Nishmart, the Susiag L'Torah. So the Chum have a right to institute Bishalachah B'Yolam Bo'ad. They can institute Datavuv Muktzah B'Yolam Bo'ad. But when they make takonos that are not to prevent the Isurim, they're rather takonos Mishum Shalom, Mishum Tikkur Ha'olam, those kinds of takonos. So then those takonos, they have no right to just all of a sudden make these new social takonos B'Yolam Bo'ad. They can only make takonos when there's a real social need for it. So you can't expect Rabbeinu Gershom every 6 months to reinstitute another Beis Din and reconvene and try to figure out whether the need is there. So the Beis Din is allowed to make it takana for a long period of time, but they have to leave it closed. They can't even open-ended takana. So they have to say, we're going to make it takana for the next 250 years, and in 250 years, let the new Beis Din come and assess whether the need still is there or not. So when you have a gezeirah that's being made teras religion, it's being made b'taras siyag, so siyag, we can make a siyag. We don't have to have a new Beis Din every 250 years to reassess whether we should eat chicken and milk together. Once the gezeirah is made b'taras siyag, so it stands the other board. Unless you have a Beis Din, go to b'chokhmah v'minyan, b'vatal, again, those are different kolos, people are takonos. But a takona that was only made not b'taras siyag in the first place, so we have to be careful not to make it the other board, because that can be potentially like a hosaf ala Torah. So we have to reassess every couple hundred years or so to see whether the need really exists. That's the Mishnah Yaakov sizes up to b'chokhmah. It's fine. But at the end of the day, he made such a takona that you're not allowed to marry two wives. So then, once he made that takana, he's not allowed to marry two wives, he was forced to make another takana. What was the other takana? That you can't divorce your wife against her will. Because if you don't make that a second takana, then the first takana just lost everything. A guy wants to marry a second wife. So he'll just decide, no big deal, so I'll divorce my first wife. Not so fast. We don't need to divorce your first wife. So he says, what do you mean? Isha Miskaresh is Bakorcha. So that's what Rabbeinu Gershom said. Yeah, Minat Torah, that's true. But the Rabbanan, we're not going to let you do that anymore. So we're going to make another Chayim at you. So not only can you not marry two wives, you can't divorce your wife against the will. So that's going to force the guy to come to Beis Din and to assess and see what's going on. So if the halach is that he's supposed to divorce, so the Beis Din have to figure out how to deal with that. But it's not a freebie. It's not just a Hefker belt. It's just either take a second wife or divorce his wife against the will. It's not a freebie. So the Rabbeinu Gershom made two takanas. It's fine. So comes the Ramon says, we who live in the world post Rabbeinu Gershom, a man cannot walk at the Beis and just hand his wife a get and harsh screaming and yelling. And that's not going to work. We're not going to let him do such a thing. So therefore, says the Ramon, so what do we need Ksuba for? Shalote Kalabian of Latzia. What do we call Kalabian of Latzia? Come on, he can't be Kalabian of Latzia. He's got to get her approval to be Megarishar. It's mamish the same as an Oinus. The same way that Ma'anis as an Isha cannot divorce her unless she's maskim. If she's maskim, she's maskim. But he cannot lo yichal l'shachol k'yam because he can't divorce her against her will. So b'zman hazeh posu ben geshem, we're like ones of k'subis tafa lamites. That's what the Ramah says. So it was a gevalt kechidish. The Ramah says, guess what? You don't have to write a k'subah b'zman hazeh. There's no need to write a k'subah. There's no, the whole thing of k'subah doesn't apply b'zman hazeh. So the Ramah writes, he says, even though it's a lamdash, interesting lamdash svara, says, well, no, we'll come on. The oilam is not made this way. We assume somehow that you still have to write a k'subah. We don't let you get away without writing a k'subah. Even though me'ikra din, the Ramah sounds like he thinks it's not a bad svara. So Ruba the Acharonim and the page in Shulchan Aruch think that the svara is not such a good svara. I think that the Ramah is not right, Mikra Din, not just the Tzav Nineh. They think the Ramah is not right. Why do they think the Ramah is not right? So, for a variety of reasons. So, the Chalkos Mechaykek, and the notes on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, writes that the Mechilas Kavod Rabbein Gershom, he's not the Torah. He's not Lehuchel Lashachayor. The Torah says something, that has a lot of weight to it. Rabbein Gershom says something, there's a little bit of weight to it. It's a Chayram. No. What's a Chayram between friends? I mean, it's not so terrible. It's not Lehuchel. So when it comes to an Issa D'Oraisa, a guy's never going to try to pull off such a stunt. He's never in a million years going to try to divorce his wife against her will. But when it's just a Chayim D'Rabbeinu Gershom, he'll tell you he's a Sfaradi, he'll tell you the Chayim's over, it's after 12:40, he'll give you a Shtickel Torah why it doesn't apply to him. But he'll explain away why he's not so nervous about the Chayim D'Rabbeinu Gershom. That's one reason why maybe the Svar of the Ramah is not good. Comes the Chafer Shlomo Kluger, and he says, there's also another very, very big difference between the two cases. In the case of the Yuchal Shachar Koyamov, let's say a guy will go ahead and be Mishalecha. He'll go ahead and violate the Yisadir Aisa. He'll go and divorce her. What are we going to make him do? The next second, we're going to have him back, have another chassid again. He's going to have to pay for another wedding. So, unless she says no. But if she wants to remain married to him, so the din is Koyamov Ba'amav Rahaksekoy. It's a Gemara Masechas Machas, right? He's got to remarry her. So he's not going to accomplish anything. Not only is the Loya Kalbiyam Lotziya, even if somehow he pulls off a stunt and he finds him inside a gittin and he finds to aid them and then somehow he pulls off giving her a yet, as soon as the basin gets wind of it, they're going to make him get married to her right away again. So it's for sure what they call Lotziya. He knows in the back of his mind he's going to get stuck having to remarry her again. So it's going to be such an incentive that he's not going to try to pull off such a game. But if a person went ahead and divorced his wife, Bial Korcha, so according to many, many poskim, we're not going to make him remarry her. We're not going to say the get's no good. We'll put him at the chayrim. We won't talk to him. We won't give him a shlishi. But in terms of the get was good. Are we going to force him to get remarried? We're not going to force him to get remarried. So that's a big burst of this balloon. I mean, it's not quite the same as the oynis. The case of the oynis, it's unbelievable what they call him here. Because even if he'll try to pull it off, he won't be successful. We're going to force him to remarry. Rashi ain't came by the chayrim to be negeshem. No. Unless you say as follows. There are some poskim who say that if a person violates Chayim D'Rabbeinu Gershom and he divorces his wife B'al Korcha and his wife really wants to remain married, we're not going to make him remarry her again. But you know what we're going to make him do? We're going to make him support her. We're going to send him all the bills. But if you still got to pay your wife's credit cards off. That in itself could be right. So he's got to still feed her. He's got to shechus. Oh no, shechus. He's still got to provide for her. All the chiyuvim and ish will still apply. So that's not going to be worth his while. So it could be that's a little bit of a limit for the Ramah. That's why the Ramah thought that maybe Bisman Azez, almost like the onus, just as the onus realizes in the back of his mind that it's not shaykh to divorce. So even if we'll try to pull off the stunt, we're going to make him go back again. So Bisman Azez, by the Chayim D'Rabbeinu Gershom, we're not going to make him remarry her, but we're still going to send him the bills. So that's also enough of a reason why Shlote Kalabi and Lotziya. So maybe we could defend the Psach of the Ramah. So notwithstanding the fact that some of the Achmarim tried to give a limud chus for the Psach of the Ramah, at the end of the day, the Ramah himself says it's not true. The Ramah himself writes that you have to write a ksuba b'zman hazeh. That's what we do. So that's why we still have a lot of extra kibbutim at the chasana. We have people write ksubas, read ksubas, a lot of a whole to-do out of it. Even though the Ramah writes that it could be, one could argue, that mikra dinon be the ksuba chlal b'zman hazeh. But that minig is not like that. A person should have a ksuba. Be honest, you have a ksuba at your wedding, you should hold on to the ksuba, make sure your wife holds on to the ksuba, make sure you don't lose it. If you lose it, you have to get another ksuba, because there's a din de rabbanan that a couple is not permitted to be together if the wife doesn't have the ksuba in her hands. She doesn't have to literally have it in her hands, but she has to know where it is and have access to it all the time. Otherwise, the couple is not permitted to be together. Okay, good. Any less questions on that? So, yeah.
What's the din in the other way, in the other Tatar, I mean, version of somebody for whatever reason?
We're going to make him divorce.
We
we're going to make him divorce. Yeah. And we'll throw him in the chayim also. What? I mean, we don't have too many harambas, man, as that we tried. People have tried in the past too. If a guy tries to divorce his wife against his will, no respectable Masada Gittin would ever do such a thing. He would have died in the get. So, according to many posts, the get would be Yavid Bichal. That's a Shaila. The only case that there's a whole pilpul about whether the get would be Chal, but the Yavid, there was a real case where the Ktais talks about, and the Ktais talk about, where a guy hired a Shaliach, and he sent the Shaliach to give a get to the wife, and the wife didn't want to receive the get. So the Shaliach beat up the wife, I mean, forced the wife to accept the get. What's the Shaila? Maybe the get's bottle. You know why? Because since he has no right to give the get to Yakarcha, so maybe it's Ein Shalich Adva Veira, and maybe that uproots the entire Shalichas, right? This is like the Chazanish, this is the Head of Mechira, right? Yeah, so we spoke about this earlier. This year, every couple of years we talk about it. Probably must have a Shabbat when we talk about it. Let me see if we spoke. Okay, good, everybody say, okay, any last questions on the Sugya? This is the Shiraim of that Sugya, we're done? Okay, new Sugya.